Look in verse number 1. Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I longed after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And I want to draw our attention to this passage of Scripture, and particularly we'll end up at verse number 12. And the Bible says the last phrase in verse number 12, the furtherance of the gospel. And I want to preach this morning for the next few minutes on this subject, the furtherance of the gospel. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. My, the singing's been good. Thank you for the Bible study hour at 9:30. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your blessings on this church. This is a special place. From the inception of this church back in 1960, your hand has been on this place. And Father, today I pray once again for the anointing of the power of God in the preaching. I know this morning that there are needs in this room. And I pray, Lord, that you would meet the needs. I cannot meet the needs. But Father, you can, and we ask you to do that. I pray if there's one in this room this morning that does not know you as a Savior, that they might be saved today. I ask you for your power as I preach. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul. It was written by the Apostle Paul, and as he penned the words by way of the Holy Spirit of God told him what to write down. As he began to pen this book that we now have, the book of Philippians, he was writing it from a Roman jailhouse. If you noticed during the reading of the passage of Scripture this morning, you understood that there were several times where the Apostle Paul used the word bonds or being in bonds. It was a reference to him being in a Roman prison. As Paul addressed the church that he had planted on his second missionary journey, he addressed the church about some particular things. I mean, while he sat there in that jailhouse, he thought about that church that he had founded, that the Lord gave him the opportunity to plant there in the place called Philippi. He began to write this letter by the Holy Spirit, and we've got this letter, and the thing that the Apostle Paul emphasizes in this letter, among other things, is this: the furtherance of the gospel. As a matter of fact, he says in our text this morning, in verse number 12, the things that have happened to me. He was talking about the persecution that he went through and the trials that he went through and the hardship that he went through. He said, all the things that have happened to me, all the things that have happened in my life, the beatings and the prison and the shipwreck and the hatred of others, and all the things that I went through in my life, the Apostle Paul says, was for one purpose, and that was this: the furtherance of the gospel. It's important for us to understand this morning that the furtherance of the gospel is important. But there are several observations in our text this morning that are important for us to understand. I want us to see them this morning by way of introduction. The first thing I observe as I read this passage of Scripture and begin to meditate on it and begin to look at it, I found this, the name Jesus Christ. If you look at this passage of Scripture, you'll find the name of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, or Christ Jesus our Lord, that name is mentioned or listed seven times in our text. In verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 6, in verse 8, in verse 10, and in verse 11, he used the word Jesus Christ, or a rendition thereof. Now that's important. You know why that's important? That's important this morning, church, because the Apostle Paul realized that if anything good was ever accomplished, that if anything good was ever done, it wasn't by the hand of Paul that it was done. It was by the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ that it was done. And the Lord Jesus Christ took this man who was a murderer, who was a persecutor of the church, and he changed his life. Oh, dear friend of mine, understand this morning that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that accomplished all that he accomplished in the life of Paul. And if I'm going to be all that I can be, and if you're going to be all that you can be, then dear friend of mine, it is not of and of ourselves that we will be all that we can be. For it is only through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and the finished work on Calvary that we could ever be what he wants us to be. It's through Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul understood that. And he took no glory for anything that was done. He understood that anything that was accomplished wasn't done in and of and by him, but it was through the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to find out what somebody believes, you find out what they believe about Jesus Christ. If someone doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the very living Son of God, born of a virgin, then there's some major differences. And there are religions today that believe that Jesus was just a good man or a prophet. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that Jesus came in the flesh. God in the flesh came and dwelt among us, according to John chapter 1. Well, we must lift high Jesus Christ. I see a second observation. The second observation I see this morning by way of introduction is I see that the Apostle Paul believed in prayer. I mean, he believed in prayer. Look in verse number 4. He says this: always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. I mean, he believed in prayer. He believed that God answered prayer. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you believe that God answers prayer this morning? When was the last time that you prayed something and God answered your prayer? Well, I'll tell you what, it just seems like that every week that the Lord answers prayers, and what an exciting thing. I don't know about you, but it is exciting to see God answer prayer. I mean, it is just a thrill. I mean, our people are praying people, and we need to be praying people. We don't need to pray less. We need to pray more. Why? Because God answers prayer. Let me ask you a question this morning. When was the last time in your life that God answered a prayer? I don't mean a general prayer. I mean a specific prayer that you prayed. When was the last time that God answered your prayer? Praise the Lord. Miss Margie, God answered prayer this week. Amen. Praise the Lord. I like it. Hey, it's exciting to see God answer prayer. Amen. It's good to see Max here this morning. Max, we've been praying for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Answer to prayer. Amen. Hey, that's through Jesus Christ. I mean, we need to be a people that believe in prayer. Brother, we've been praying for you from the accident. It's good to see you this morning. I mean, we've been praying for our people. Why? Because God answers prayer. I mean, I believe it. I believe it with all my heart. God answers prayer. John, I've been praying for you. God answers prayer. Amen. Many of you, I pray for you on a daily or on a weekly basis. As often as the Lord calls you to my mind, I pray for you. Why? Because you're looking at a preacher this morning that just doesn't believe that it's a formality that we pray, but I really believe that God answers prayer. Amen. I like it. That gives me an edge on other people. And I need all the help I can get. God answers prayer. Paul believed that God answers prayer. Here, let me ask you a question. Is there power in your prayer life? I mean, is there power in your prayer life? I preached, it's been over a year ago now. What moves the hand of God? I don't know about you, but I want God's hand to move. I want God's hand to move in my life. I want God's hand to move in your life. I want God's hand to move in the life of our church family. I want to see the hand of God move. So what moves the hand of God? Well, prayer does. Prayer moves the hand of God. Faith does. Faith moves the hand of God. And praise does. Praise moves the hand of God. You say, preacher, I just don't have nothing to praise the Lord about. Find something. I don't care if it's the green grass on the outside of the house. Find something to praise the Lord about, because praise moves the hand of God. And the Apostle Paul knew that. Amen. I like it. He believed in prayer. I see another observation. I see that he loved the people of God. Look in verse 6. Being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul loved the people of God. It's important to understand that the Apostle Paul believed in his life and in the lives of others that whatever God was doing in their life or in his life, that God was working and that God was moving, and that what God had begun, according to verse number 6, God was able to complete that. And dear friend of mine, it's exciting to see God work in the lives of people. We see something else. Look in verse 7. I'm saying he loved the people of God. Notice what he says. We see here a little bit of the missionary pastor's heart. He says in verse number 7, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Wait a minute. Here's the Apostle Paul sitting in a jail. And he's writing to the people, the believers at Philippi, and he says, I have you in my heart. How powerful is that? Here is a man who set aside his own feelings. Here is a man who set aside a life that he could have probably had as a lawyer who got saved and served the Lord with his life. And now in a jail, he says, I have you in my heart. Can I tell you something? I'm not the best Christian you'll ever meet. I'm not the best pastor you'll ever have. I want to tell you something, though. You're in my heart. You're in my heart. I mean, from the moment I roll out of bed in the morning till the moment I go to bed at night, you're in my heart. Pray for you. I love you. The Apostle Paul, there are some observations. He had these dear people in his heart. But there's something else here we see. We see this, that he wanted to see fruit in their life. Look in verse 11. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Oh, he wanted to see righteousness and the fruits of righteousness in their heart. So much so, in Philippians chapter 4, flip over there just a second. In Philippians chapter number 4, he says this in verse number 17. He says, in verse 17, look what the Bible says. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He loved the people of God. He believed that God was working in their lives. He had them in his heart. He wanted to see fruit in their life. And then we know this. We know that he knew the importance and the impact of the gospel. We see three times his reference to the gospel. In verse number 5, we see these words, "for your fellowship in the gospel." We see in verse number 7, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We see in our text verse, in verse number 12, the furtherance of the gospel. I got to studying that word furtherance, and I got to looking up some different references, and I found out that that word furtherance, when the Bible says the furtherance of the gospel, I found out that that word furtherance just means simply this: to advance. To advance. Do you know this, that it is our responsibility to propitiate the furtherance of the gospel? Do you understand this morning that is the responsibility of every single believer in this room this morning to give the gospel? I mean, listen, it is our responsibility this morning to witness to folks, to give a tract to folks, to say a word to folks about the gospel. And let me ask you a question this morning. If it's our responsibility to give the gospel, oh, you can stick it in an envelope in a bill and give the gospel as you mail it out. You can give it to the teller. You can give it to the lady at Kmart. You can give it to the waitress as you're eating dinner. I'm saying every single person has a responsibility to propitiate the furtherance of the gospel. It just means to advance the gospel. That's our responsibility. It's not just the preacher's responsibility, although it is my responsibility, but it's the responsibility of every person. You see these flags? These flags, they represent countries. They represent countries in the Caribbean. These aren't all the countries in the Caribbean, by no means. We wouldn't have enough room to put all the flags up for all the countries in the Caribbean. But did you know something this morning? These people in these countries, they need to be reached with the gospel. Our people have given, and we've been to the country of Haiti and preached there and saw decisions made. Hey, that's the furtherance of the gospel. If you give this morning to our missions program, then you have a part in the furtherance of the gospel. And I'm saying this morning that the Apostle Paul understood the importance of the furtherance of the gospel. And it matters not if you're a teenager or if you're up in years. The responsibility still lies with all of us to advance the gospel. We must advance the gospel. Let me give you three things real quick, and we'll go to the house. Amen. Number one, I want you to see the fact of the furtherance of the gospel. The fact of the furtherance of the gospel. As our church grows, there will be different programs that will be developed. As our church grows, and as the Lord supplies us with the people to do the things that we need to do, the ministry will continue to broaden and continue to grow. It's important for us to understand that as the church grows and as we as believers, as we grow, it is important for us to understand this morning and to realize that regardless of the programs and regardless of the plan, the main thing, dear friend of mine, is for you and I as a church to get the gospel out. That's the main thing. I mean, that's the whole purpose that we have church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. That's why we have the Bible studies that we have. That's why we have tracts that are printed so that we can give the gospel out. I mean, the gospel has got to be given, the fact of the furtherance of the gospel. There are several instances in Scripture where the gospel was advanced. We can't look at all of them. We don't have time. But take your Bibles and go to Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, we see one instance as far as the advancement of the gospel. In Matthew chapter number 3, we see a story here concerning John the Baptist. Now, we know all about John the Baptist. He was He was John the Baptist. I mean, he dressed funny, dressed in camel's hair and all that kind of stuff. And he wasn't, he was a rough character. I mean, he spent a lot of time out in the wilderness, and he just probably wasn't the kind of person maybe that you'd want to be around. But I want to tell you something this morning. He loved the Lord, and God loved him, and he was used by God. Why? Because he advanced the gospel. Look what the Bible says here in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" What did John the Baptist do? The Bible teaches us many things about John the Baptist. He was the forerunner of Christ. But dear friend of mine, it's important for us to understand that he advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see in our text that we read today that the Apostle Paul advanced the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see in Mark chapter number 16 that the disciples in Mark chapter number 16 were given the instructions to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see that Jesus himself, as Jesus walked on planet earth, that Jesus advanced the gospel. I mean, he advanced the gospel to the woman at the well. He advanced the gospel to a man named Nicodemus. He advanced the gospel to a man named Zacchaeus. Jesus even said in Matthew chapter 4 in verse number 23 that he was here to preach the gospel of the kingdom. I'm saying this morning, dear friend of mine, we must advance the gospel. There are other instances. I want you to take your Bibles and go to the book of Mark chapter 5. Let me show you one of them. Mark chapter number 5. We're talking about missions this month, and we're talking about advancing the gospel. In Mark chapter number 5, we see the story of the maniac of Gadara. He was a maniac. He was demon-possessed. He met the Lord. And when he met the Lord, his life changed forever. When I got saved, I was a little boy. I wasn't in deep sin, but I was a sinner just like everybody else. And I had to get born again just like everybody else. But you know something? When I got saved, the Lord changed me. He changed me in many ways like he changed the maniac of Gadara. I mean, he changed my attitude. He changed my appetites, the things that I desire. I mean, I was changed. The maniac of Gadara, the Bible teaches us that he was possessed. And the Lord came and he sent the demons that were in the maniac of Gadara into a herd of swine. The swine went and jumped off a cliff and they drowned themselves in the sea, the Bible says. Here was a man whose life was completely changed. He could have done anything. He had a new life. I mean, he could have went anywhere. He had a new life. But I want you to see what he did. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 19. The Bible says, "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." And look what he did. "And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." What did he do? He advanced the gospel. The impact that the Lord Jesus Christ made in his life motivated him to advance the gospel. You're in the book of Mark. Go to the book of John, chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 4. We'll see another instance of someone advancing the gospel. In John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, we see the story of the woman at the well.
And in John chapter number 4, we see Jesus coming to the well and witnessing to the woman at the well. He knew all about her. I mean, he knew everything about her. And he had compassion on her. Praise the Lord. She got born again. He said, if you'll give me a drink of water, I'll give you some living water. And that living water, you'll never thirst again. Praise the Lord. In 1976, as a little boy, I drank some living water. Amen. And the Lord changed my life and I received Him as my Savior. I'm so grateful for that. Here's the woman at the well. The Bible says this. The Bible says that Jesus came. She got born again. Notice what she did in John chapter 4 and verse 28. The Bible says, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? What'd she do? She advanced the gospel. She advanced the gospel. There are other instances in Scripture. We're talking about the furtherance of the gospel, the advancement of the gospel. In Acts chapter number 13, we won't turn there for the sake of time, but the New Testament church in Acts chapter number 13, they advanced the gospel. In 1960, when Key West Baptist Temple was planted, not as Key West Baptist Temple, but as it was planted in 1960, and Pastor Wright started this church. He started this church. Are you listening? He started this church with a purpose in mind. You know what the purpose in mind was? To advance the gospel. And now from 1960 to 2013, dear friend of mine, the baton has been passed to the people in this room this morning. The baton has been passed to the people who are sitting here this morning under the sound of my voice. There is one main purpose in the life of every believer, dear friend of mine, and that main purpose is to advance the gospel on this island. We must advance the gospel on this island. There's no other way around it. People need to be saved. I mean, we see people every day that need the Lord Jesus Christ. If we don't reach those people with the gospel, then dear friend of mine, who's going to reach those people with the gospel? Who's going to get them saved? Who's going to tell them that Jesus Christ died on the cross so that they can have eternal life? It must be us. The baton has been passed to us and we must advance the gospel. What changes the lives of people? The gospel. I sat in my office 2 weeks ago on a Sunday afternoon with a couple in my office. A man from Cuba who spoke no English. His fiancée. She was saved here under Pastor Wright's ministry. She called me and she said, Pastor, we want to get married in your church in May. I said, I'll not marry you unless I can counsel you. Amen. They came to my office. One of the first questions I asked them is, are you saved? She gave a clear testimony that she had been saved here under the ministry of Pastor Wright. I can't even remember her name. That's pretty bad because I've got an appointment with him next week. I looked at her fiancé. His name is Rafael from Cuba. He's from Cuba. I said, has he ever been saved? And she spoke in Spanish. I was going to say tongues. She spoke in Spanish. She asked him. He said, no, I've never been saved. In just a few moments, after going through the plan of salvation, that Cuban man bowed his head and closed his eyes. In my office upstairs, prayed and asked Jesus into his heart. That's the first person from Cuba I think I ever led to Christ. Praise the Lord. I mean, I've been to Costa Rica. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Haiti. That's the first Cuban person. I can't wait to go there. That's advancing the gospel. If we don't advance the gospel, who's going to do it? We must do it. We must do it. This church is here to be a strength to this community, to help people grow in the Lord. But this church is here to advance the gospel. We must advance the gospel. I challenge you this month, as we look at missions and reaching our island for Christ, I challenge you to take some tracts. Take these John and Romans. One is in French Creole and one is in Spanish. Give these to your neighbors. Advance the gospel. If you do nothing else this month, advance the gospel. Advance the gospel. There are four steps to Operation Rock, reaching our Caribbean, and the first one is this: to advance the gospel. We must advance the gospel. Now, I'm not done, but I'm going to close. We're circling the runway. Put your seats in the upright position and put your table trays up also. Some of these young people don't know what that means, right? Because they ain't never been on an airplane. They're like, what in the world? Think about this for a minute. I want you to think about when you got saved. I want you to think about two things. I want you to think about where you would be if you hadn't got saved. Where would you be if you hadn't got saved? The second thing I want you to think about is this. There is somebody on this island that's just like you were before you got saved. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you glad you got saved? Aren't you glad you got born again? Man, I don't know about you, but I want people to get what I got. I want them to get it. The life that we live as believers. Think of it like this. The life that we live as believers today, are you listening? Is the worst life we'll ever live. From here, it gets better. Praise the Lord. I want somebody to get what I got. Amen. Hey, we need to advance the gospel on this island. I challenge you this morning, advance the gospel. Our Father in heaven, thank you for this morning. Father, I pray you bless the invitation. I pray, Lord, for believers that you would burden our hearts to advance the gospel to our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, the people we know. It may be a track, it may be a John and Romans, it may be a testimony by the word of mouth, but Father, help us to advance the gospel. Challenge us, I pray that you would. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with anyone in this service this morning that's not saved. I pray, Lord, they'd get saved today during the invitation. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one is looking around. I wonder this morning if there would be someone in this room who would say, Pastor, I've never been born again. I've never been saved. May I say to you this morning, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, that Jesus Christ loves you very much. He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, suffered the payment and the penalty for sin. They buried him and he rose again the third day. But when he died on the cross, he died on the cross to pay for your sins. Every sin you ever committed, every sin in the past, every sin in the future, and every sin right now, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And maybe this morning you've never received him into your heart. I challenge you today to do that. I wonder this morning if there would be someone in this room who'd say, Preacher, I've never been saved. I've never been born again. I don't know Christ as my Savior. But I certainly don't want to die and go to a devil's hell. But I'm not sure heaven's my home. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one's looking. I wonder if there'd be one who'd say, Preacher, I'm not saved. Pray for me. Can I see your hand? Just put it up and put it down. Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never received Christ as my Savior. I've never accepted him into my heart. Preacher, pray for me. Is there one while we tarry? Is there one? Preacher, I'm not saved. I've never received him into my heart. Preacher, pray for me. And based on your own testimony, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed,
everyone in this room this morning is born again. If that be the case, then I want to challenge you to advance the gospel. You're thinking of somebody right now. The Holy Spirit of God is bringing somebody to your mind right now that needs Jesus. I can't reach them. You can. In just a moment, we'll stand. The musician will begin to play. And as the musician plays, would you come to an old-fashioned altar? Let's determine in our heart and mind to press the reset button and advance the gospel. And give the gospel to the one the Holy Spirit of God right now is pinpointing in our lives. I pray that you will. Our Father, speak to hearts, I pray. Help us, Lord, to advance the gospel. Thank you for what you'll do during this invitation. Give folks courage to make decisions in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand, please? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. The musician is playing. Would you come today advancing the gospel? Advancing the gospel. Folks are coming. Would you come? Let God have His way in your life. People we know, people we work with, people we come in contact with, if we don't give them the gospel, then who's going to give them the gospel? Would you let God have His way in your life today? Who is the Lord pinpointing right now in your life that needs to be reached? It might be a friend. It might be a coworker. Might be a family member. Would you come today? Let God have His way.